Hello and welcome to Inside Education with me, Sean Delaney, on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Inside Education is the programme that brings you insights into teaching, learning and all aspects of education from an Irish perspective. You can listen to or download podcasts of previous editions of Inside Education from insideed.com. On this week's programme, we look at the topic of action research and specifically action research as a form of professional development for teachers. In order to do this, I'm joined by three Irish researchers who, along with a colleague, wrote a book on the subject. The book is called Enhancing Practice Through Classroom Research, A Teacher's Guide to Professional Development, and it is published by Routledge. The authors are Katrina McDonough, Mary Roach, and Bernie Sullivan and Maureen Glenn. All four are current or former teachers, and Katrina, Mary and Bernie join me on the programme this week. When we spoke a little while ago, I began by asking Bernie to tell me how the book came about.
The inspiration for the book came from the fact that we had just completed our PhDs and we had done that through an action research approach, which we found kind of very life-enhancing and liberating in ways, because through an action research approach, we were able to collaborate with each other, discuss our ideas, you know, and tease them out, have somebody else in the group critique your ideas. And we found that a very empowering way of working. So we then wanted to let other teachers know that there was a way of doing things, you know, that they could all collaborate and try to improve their practice. Because action research really is not just researching on other people. It's about researching yourself in relation to other people. And in that way, you improve yourself, first of all, you improve your own teaching. And then that has a knock-on effect in terms of improvement for your pupils as well.
So if we take that idea of action research, can you tell me a little bit more about what that involves, Katrina?
It involves looking at something that is of interest to you in your classroom, thinking, what might I do about it, trying it out, and then recording what happened. Now, that's fairly basic because it's exactly what we do in terms of teaching and how children learn. So now, bringing it up a little level into the action research approach, when we ask, what do I want to improve, we then ask, why do I want to work on this? Very often our gut feeling is it's for somebody in the class's benefit. But why we're looking at this child and this issue, it's to do with what we feel inside, why teaching is important to us. So we're looking at what I want to do and why I want to do it. The next thing we look at is this why I want to do it is about values that are very important to me in my teaching. And if we think of the Teaching Council at the moment, they in their code of practice have talked about our ethical values. But as teachers, we have never mentioned those in our teaching. We've never had a chance to talk to colleagues about them, except when orders come from on high that this should be part of our workload. So this was absolutely massive for me, that you got a chance for somebody to say, oh my goodness, this is what you're doing here. And it's a very important value. There's integrity, there's empowerment of the pupils, whatever the value they see in your work or you see in your work, you get a chance to say it for the very first time. So then you head off looking for information to show the changes that you're making in your classroom. And then as the research develops, you learn ways of showing that that is valid and rigorous research. So what we're doing there is, again, gathering stuff that we do in the classroom, dating it. I know a reflective journal is something a lot of young teachers absolutely hate because it has become a marking project as part of their teacher education. I was taught how to be a teacher in an era where reflection was not part of the diet at all. So it's not a worry to me, but younger teachers, it is something they worry about. However, a reflective journal, as we see it, is maybe just making a note, something that you jot down at the end of a day, at the end of a class lesson, to remind you of what you're thinking about. A couple of months later, if you look back on those, you have an actual track of how your thinking has changed. So a journal of some kind of what you're doing in the class is a huge piece of evidence when you come to research, documenting your research if you want to go for accreditation. So the rigor comes then from showing what you've collected in your class to others and them saying, oh yes, that's what we see in it too. Or, hold on, you're claiming this. That's not exactly right. So it's a rigorous research process out of something very basic that we do in our classrooms every day.
And when do you decide, Mary, that this is something that you want to share with others, that it's not just something for yourself?
We came together as a group to do our master's with Dr. Jean McNiff. We then progressed on to do a PhD. We found this process so liberating, and that it shouldn't be just for us, that we wanted other teachers to experience this kind of bottom-up approach to professional development, that it's not a directive coming in or an in-service whereby somebody else decides for you what you need to improve in, and you go along and there's a smorgasbord of courses available in your education centre, and sometimes your choice is very banal. It's limited to things like, is it near me? Do I still have to get a babysitter? Or, you know, sometimes our reasons for doing professional development can be quite arbitrary and quite banal. Whereas this was a very empowering methodology for teachers to research their own practice, to decide for themselves that, okay, the school is going to look at literacy. I feel I'm okay in literacy. I'm going to look at numeracy because that's the area that I don't feel competent in. And then it's self-study action research. You're asking yourself, how do I improve my teaching of this class? Not how do I improve this class's maths? How do I improve my teaching of maths? So the reasons we wanted to disseminate this and write the book and get it out there is we just felt this is a very empowering methodology for teachers to research their own practice and to shift that glass ceiling between theory and practice and say, I can generate theory from my practice. I can theorize. If I go through what Katrina said and Bernie said, the rigorous process of documenting any interventions and any change, if I've kept a rigorous reflective journal, if I've subjected that to public critique, to what Brookfield called the four lenses of critical reflection, and the evidence is there to show, yes, that this is what happened. I'd also like to pick up on what Katrina said about values. Because the values that inform our work and the values that underpin action research are very different to other traditional forms of research. In, say, positivist research, there's a value that knowledge is out there, separate from the knower, that can be accessed, that can be reified, that can be transmitted, that can be replicated and generalized. And there's no acknowledgement that the researcher is in any way affecting or influencing the subject under scrutiny. In interpretative research, there is an acknowledgement that the researcher has a point of view, but again, it's an interpretation of somebody else's work. Action research is me looking at me. It's not a researcher from a university looking at me and interpreting what I'm doing. It's me interpreting what I'm doing. So there's a very particular epistemological set of values around knowledge and knowledge acquisition, knowledge generation, and who is a knower and who says and why. There's also a very strong set of values then around the other, and that when I'm in my classroom, I am in relation with the other, taking that idea of ik du, you know, Buber's idea of I thou. So I see myself as one amongst equals in the classroom. Okay, I'm the teacher, I do have particular power, but I am equal in my humanity and unique in my own personality. That's a very different type of underpinning set of values. So they both inform the methodological approach of action research.
And if I am looking at myself, and if I'm leaving my own practice and my own thinking and what I do open to scrutiny of others, I am making myself more vulnerable. Is that difficult, Bernie?
No, I didn't find that vulnerable, because, I mean, if you want to improve, you know, if your intention is to achieve improvement or change, I think, you know, the vulnerability won't really matter. Because if you think about it, if you want change to occur in your classroom, you may not be able to change the pupils, you may not be able to change the circumstances in your school, but the one thing you can change is yourself. You can change your own attitude to things, your own approach to things. So I think change has to begin with oneself. And I think I would very much see the teacher as the agent of change in his or her classroom. And as Katrina mentioned already, values are so important, really. And nowadays, I know there's a lot of talk about self-evaluation in schools, but that's a kind of a self-evaluation imposed by somebody else, and it's somebody else's values, maybe, because I think you can't have evaluation without referring to values, but they can be values that mightn't mean very much to you, but what matters to you are your own ontological values, the ones from inside yourself, the ones you are committed to and are passionate about. And if you can identify those values for yourself, that's what will bring about change. For example, if I say I value inclusion, well, I'm going to stop at nothing to make sure that every child in my class is included. Pupils with learning disabilities, pupils from the traveller community, pupils from other cultures, that they are all included. You know, and if I value inclusion, I will stop at nothing to make sure that that happens. And I will check every day, keep my reflective journal, as was mentioned already, and note maybe any instances where I might feel that a child was made feel left out or something, and ensure that I come up with an idea, reflect on it and come up with an idea to ensure that does not happen again.
So one thing that comes across to me in what Bernie is saying, Katrina, is that you have to be open to this idea of change in your practice. Is that the case?
Yes, and I think a lot of teachers are, but we don't have a field in which to explain where this is happening. And another area kind of linked to that is the idea of theory and how our teaching is structured. Maybe I'll just stick with this idea of risk for another while. It is a risky business when you say, I want to change something. I want to learn to drive for the first time. I want to learn a new language. It is taking risks. I think you were asking, Bernie, about the social risks of telling your colleagues, you know, I might be making a mess of this, but I'm trying to do it a bit better. But in fact, that is good, because it is what I want to do. And when we're starting our research projects and our methodology, we would even say to the children, I am doing this because I want to teach something better than I did before. I want to try out something new, and I want you to help me to evaluate how things are going. So we're even asking our children to be part of the evaluation process. And then when it comes to asking our colleagues, like, we began this more than 15 years ago in an era when there was very little in-class work among teachers. So very often I was working in an isolated classroom, not meeting another colleague, not thinking I was doing a brilliant job, and nobody there to say, well, maybe you could try something else. But since then, things have moved on where we are working with colleagues. And I think the terror of bringing the first observer into your classroom has gone. It's no longer connected with the kigira walking in. So the risk of having someone know about what you're doing in your classroom isn't like it was when I started teaching.
And is it something that comes easier at a certain stage in your career, that it might be harder to do for a beginning teacher, but when you're more established, that it comes more easily? Bernie?
Yeah, I think so, for a number of reasons. Probably young teachers fresh out of college kind of think that they know it all, they have all the knowledge, you know, and here they are now starting off and in their classes. And also the idea of reflection. We mentioned reflection as being so important. I think you need kind of to be at a certain stage, have a certain maturity to be able to undertake, you know, critical reflection, and not to be afraid of the consequences. If you critique yourself, you know, that you might be afraid you'd find yourself wanting in some way. That's going back to the vulnerability that you mentioned earlier, Sean. But the fact that we found it so empowering, I think that got over the vulnerability. And I think it takes a while when teachers have found their feet, maybe when they've been a few years out and have got their diploma, whatever, and maybe feel a bit more secure, you know, in their own teaching, they might then be more willing to undertake critical reflection and so on their practice, and be open to new ideas and so on. But I think maybe when we started off at our age, we were a bit rusty. We had been teaching for a number of years, and I know, speaking for myself, I had been teaching so long, fifth and sixth class every second year in a class, and I thought I knew everything there was to know about teaching, that I didn't even need the curriculum, I knew it off by heart. But never realised that here I was going in doing the same thing year after year, you know, and how boring that was for me and for my pupils. So when I began the action research, it just gave me a fresh view on things, you know, and to stop and to look at what I was doing.
The other thing that strikes me about it is that there seems to be a lot of work. Like, we might give out about conventional professional development, but basically all I have to do is turn up and that's it. Whereas this sounds like a lot of work. You're probing what you're doing, you're writing about it, leaving it open to others to scrutinise. How would you respond to that, Mary?
I think you're dead right. And I think with action research, I think Maureen at one point said, you go to bed with it, you wake up with it, you dream about it, you live it. And it is hard work. And I suppose, truth be told, if, in my own case, if I hadn't to do it for a master's degree initially and then for a PhD, I probably would have given up. That said, we approached the teaching council and we got, you know, funding to do some commissioned research. So we worked with groups of teachers and they weren't getting any accreditation. They weren't even going to get the famous 3 days of extra personal vacation days. There was nothing in it except professional development, and yet they turned up every month for the meetings. And there were spanning, in my particular case, there was a teacher, I think the youngest teacher had 5 years experience, it was 10 years, 20, 30, and somebody nearly retired. And it was Christopher Clark's professional conversations, it was teacher talk. But, you know, one teacher would raise a dilemma that she had or he had in his practice. The others would add the voices of their experience and their years. And it was just amazing to see the amount of work. And they undertook writing up their report and sharing their ideas with others. So it isn't for every teacher, perhaps, no more than the top-down model is for every teacher. I think that there should be an open choice available. It will appeal to reflective people, maybe more than pragmatic people.
Katrina.
If you get involved in this form of action research, it's with you morning, noon and night. It becomes a living. And when Bernie was and I were explaining what is in this book, we didn't mention that we are working generally from an eye focus, but also from a living theory focus. So what's so different about living theory? From my perspective, what it means to me is that the forms of theory that came to me as a teacher before, I went on professional development courses to find the tips and the tricks for the classroom. And I gathered those and often kept them in folders that gathered dust or often tried out a few and they worked and I was delighted and I moved on. When you come to researching your practice, where's the theory from? Now, a lot of my work was with students with dyslexia. So who is telling me what is important in terms of theory? I have neurologists, eye specialists, psychologists, speech and language therapists. Very few teachers are generating theory about an aspect of our teaching. So what is hugely important about this form of living theory is that it allows us to develop our theories from our practice and within our practice. So research is not coming from the books outside, it is growing from within teachers. And that is what has sustained us over these years, that it has told us that these marvellous teachers that are in our classrooms, their voices are not getting out there in terms of theory. And this is a form of research, living theory action research, that allows us to get our voices out there. Now, did I leave out anything else, Bernie?
No, I think that's okay. But when you mentioned living theory, it kind of brought to mind for me Jack Whitehead's idea about being a living contradiction. Jack Whitehead is very into the idea of values being so important in education that everything revolves around values, that you have to have the values. And he talks about often we try to live out those values in our practice, but something prevents us from living the values. Could be ourselves, that we are not doing it. It could be the institution we're in that could be affecting whether we can live those values or not. But that when we stop and think about it and realise that this value is not being lived, we find that there's a contradiction and that we can't continue. You can't continue as a living contradiction, so you have to do something about it. And that often that can be the impetus that makes us want to do something about it. That can be the start then of your research where you say, kind of, why is that bothering me? Why am I concerned? And then as you investigate that, you come up with something that you want to improve and that you want to make sure then that you are living to your values. And that's how you judge then or evaluate your research at the end of it. You look back to those values and say, well, am I now living to that value? You know, that's what I was trying to do to ensure I was living to the value. Can I now see that value in what I am doing?
Even though teachers do generate these insights from their own practice and generate their own theory, there isn't really many outlets for them to disseminate what they learn. Has that been a problem, Mary?
Well, I suppose now that you're asking the question, it is a problem. I mean, the Teaching Council is making an effort with FAILCHE. I don't know, is it an Irish teacher's, or is this true in every context? But teachers tend to be tentative about telling their stories. There is still that little element of the Republic of Fourth Class, and in secondary school, maybe the little Republic of Business Studies, and they don't talk to Gaeilge or whatever. But the idea of teachers maybe standing up and being allowed to share their thinking and their learning with their colleagues is still quite new. Katrina has something to say on that.
Yeah. Just building on that recently, we have been conscious that there are an awful lot of teachers who have done various forms of research in the action research methodology over the past years, and it's accredited research. And where is it? There is no database in the Teaching Council of teachers with PhDs and masters in terms of educational research. That's one aspect. In terms of accessing research, one of our recommendations to the Teaching Council was, as a teacher no longer doing study, I cannot access academic journals in any institution. So thank God in recent years the Teaching Council have set up EBSCO so that we can do that. Now, from our own part, we have tried to set up a network of teachers who have done action research and who want to talk together about what's going on. So in this year, we have come together with Pip Bruce Ferguson, who's come from New Zealand to DCU, and together the four of us plus Pip have set up a network of educational researchers of Ireland, and we're meeting on a number of occasions just to chat about our feelings around research, to give ourselves a forum. Now, the forum is face-to-face, but we also have an online part of it as well.
What's the address of that?
www.eari.ie.
On that, we have our own publications. We have a blog, which we would love anybody to join in.
Yeah, and on that website, people can see examples of action research projects if they want to see what they look like, you know, what can be achieved through them. I think all of our action research is on that.
Yeah. And the three of you have done it up to PhD level. What's the smallest level that you can actually get into action research at? You know, I'm trying to think of a teacher who kind of says, I just wouldn't have the time at the moment. I have young children, or I'm, you know, getting married, or I have a sick parent or something like that. Mm. You know, how can they actually get in, you know, at their level?
I'll give you an example. In the group I had that I ran in the, and I'd say thanks to the Cork Education Centre for facilitating and giving me a room there to hold these meetings with the teachers. But anyway, one teacher on the information night said, when I asked them, you know, was there an area of concern? Now, she was a very busy teacher, was preparing to get married and had a full big class. And she said, I'm very concerned. And it was at the start of a school year. I have four children that I just cannot reach. I feel I'm not doing them justice. What can I do? So we're talking differentiation here. And I just said to her, why don't you ask the children? And I can remember her shock, her eyebrows raised. And I asked her then what age they were, and they were fifth class. Now, out of that work, she rang me the following day at coffee time, just jumping up and down. The children had so many ideas. They wanted a weekly meeting, they wanted a classroom magazine, they wanted her Clorama as Berla. And they wanted to be able to say to her, Miss, it's our PE time now, or it's, you know, you're gone over our art time into something, you're still at maths and we should be doing art. And so she agreed to most of their requests, except a fortnightly meeting. And out of that came the richest work. It was just a teacher saying, how do I improve my work? So it's that micro level. That's just one tiny piece. It took 6 weeks, six sessions, and she wrote it up, and it was really empowering.
And you describe that as a process of reflection, research and action.
And dialogue with others, collaboration, and thinking with other people.
One of the difficulties people think with action research with a big group is you have 10 people, you'll have 10 or more topics. How would you ever deal with that? So working with a large staff and they all want to do different things, how would that be managed? So the sort of things they wanted to look at were minute classroom stuff, not the big picture things. And yes, over five sessions, half a Crow Park hour, five times in the year, we managed to do action research projects with the whole staff, that's a large staff, and each completed action research within their own area of interest. And it was just what we want to do, what I want to do in my own classroom.
Okay. Yeah. Could I just say very quickly, Sean, that Katrina described there what you could do with a whole school, but it doesn't even have to be a whole school. We did it with a group in Drumcondra of diverse teachers. There were some secondary, some primary, some from private schools. One teacher from the school from the deaf who did a very interesting maths project. And that's something that people who are not involved in action research cannot understand. They said, how can you have so many different people all working on different things? You know, but the approach is the same. The action research methodology is the same, but they each have their different idea that they want to work on. And the ideas come from the group. You know, if you have a problem, somebody else will have a suggestion as to how you can solve it. So it works very well, you know. And as I said, that wasn't for accreditation either. They just had a satisfaction at the end of knowing that they had improved some area of their practice.
Mary. For me, I'm going to invite people to look at our website and look at the quote that Maureen selected from Maxine Green. And it's about something to do with the idea of proceeding unthinkingly is what most, you know, we're caught up in the busyness and the hurry along curriculum, as Mary and Dad's referred to, and that there isn't time sometimes, and that we need to take time to pause, to stand back and to take stock of what exactly am I doing, and as Katrina said earlier, and why am I doing it? Why am I teaching this way? Is this the way I really want to teach? Is this the real me? And it's that idea of transforming your practice from within through taking a pause and just standing back and stopping for a minute to think about things.
This book and the form of self-study action research that we have been referring to and that we have enjoyed is a sustainable form of professional development throughout your career. It is something that is living, that stays with you. We have been finding lots of ways to help other teachers to get involved in at all different levels, from initial teacher education, from teachers who are being mentored, from teachers who are well established in their career. So we see this as the porridge, the sustainability, something that will hold us and that will motivate us to stay in the job and to enjoy the job that we went into so willingly at the beginning of our careers.
And the book on which today's programme is based is called Enhancing Practice Through Classroom Research, A Teacher's Guide to Professional Development, and it's published by Routledge. The authors I spoke to are Katrina McDonough, Mary Roach and Bernie Sullivan. Maureen Glenn is the other author who couldn't make it on the day. Well, that's all we have time for in this week's programme. You can listen to or download podcasts of previous Inside Education programmes on insideed.com. You can get in touch with the programme by writing to me with feedback or suggestions to insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney signing off. Thank you for listening.